Heer Pieter Hein was 'n kampvegter teen apartheid en 'n Britse kabinetminister, wat steeds veg vir geregtigheid in Suid-Afrika en nou ook sy stem gevoeg het by talle omgewingsaktiviste wat pleit om die bewaring van Afrika se wildlewe. Pieter, wat beslis meer bekend is vir sy nie-fiksie van 'n politiese aard, het met sy eerste spanningsverhaal, The Rhino Conspiracy, die kollig vierkante geplaas op hoe korrupsie in die politieke arena die hande van renosterstropers en wildlewehandelaars versterk. Pieter het met Marula Media oor The Rhino Conspiracy gesels en die verhaal in sy eie woorde opgesom.
It's a thriller described by reviewers as page-turning and gripping about the combination of poaching of this precious species so important to South African wildlife and the corruption, including criminal syndicates and politicians that are corrupt behind that poaching. So there have been books about poaching and there have been books about corruption and state capture in South Africa, but there's been nothing that has brought the two together in a way that people will find, I hope, readable, accessible, and pacey, and thrilling to turn the pages. So that's what it is about in essence. And I began writing it, or thinking about it, when my wife and I visited the marvelous Tula Tula Game Reserve in KwaZulu-Natal near Richards Bay. And there we discovered the reality of the security around rhinos, which we went out to visit in the middle of the game reserve on a Land Cruiser and saw them chomping their leaves and their grass so peacefully and innocently, and recognizing that they were protected 24/7 by armed guards, and then discussing with the rangers who were guiding us what they faced and the constant poaching threats. And then it gave me the idea, because I'd become, this was in 2015, after I'd stepped down as a member of the British Parliament's House of Commons as an MP. I'm now back in Parliament as a Lord. But it was at a period when I'd stepped down as a Member of Parliament for after a quarter of a century there, and had free time before taking up my seat in the Lords. And I then became much more aware of the terrible corruption and cronyism and state capture in South Africa, and had the idea of putting those two together and writing this thriller.
Hy verduidelik hoekom hy besluit het om die boek as 'n spanningsverhaal aan te pak.
Well, you're right, Esty, because I've written over 20 books, and recently we are publishing Pitch Battles about sport, racism and resistance, which is more familiar territory for me. But when I get spare time, which is not often enough, I like reading thrillers. So I read thriller writers like David Baldacci, Sam Bourne, and others. So that's my kind of downtime. And I thought, well, maybe I can try this myself. And the other objective was to try and reach an audience that would not have picked up a book about state capture or corruption. And neither would they have necessarily picked up a book about wildlife poaching, about non-fiction books. But they might read an easy read on holiday, on a long journey, or lying on the beach, or just relaxing over a weekend. They might read something that would also read something that is a thriller that would also shed light on both the reality of poaching and the reality of corruption. And the fusing of these two together, which is the core of the book, was something that I really only understood when I started researching it in detail. So I got the idea from visiting the game reserve and becoming horrified by the betrayal of Nelson Mandela's legacy and that of my parents, who had sacrificed as South African-born citizens the country they loved, to have to go into exile when I was a teenager. And the betrayal of that freedom struggle by the corrupt politicians who, in the case of poaching, right across the African continent, are also protecting the poachers. Indeed, they're protecting these international crime syndicates, which, as is apparent in the thriller, in the Rhino Conspiracy, are behind the local poachers. And most of the poaching is undertaken by poor local Africans from local villages around the game reserves. But they're at the bottom of a long chain that goes all the way through, for example, South Africa, organized crime protected by corruption internationally, to the Far East, to countries like China and Vietnam and Hong Kong, which are where the consumers of these rhino horns, which are ground down into powder, they are the ones that are fueling and paying grotesque amounts, more than the price of gold, for rhino horn. So they're the ones driving this. And then these international crime syndicates, protected by corrupt politicians, are the ones providing it.
Die verhandeling in diereprodukte en stropery is 'n ekonomie op sy eie. Dit vergelyk goed met die handel van dwelms, wapens en selfs geldwassery. Dit lewer 'n ongelooflike 230 miljard Amerikaanse dollars per jaar.
On an industrial scale, it is huge. And you're right to compare it with drug trafficking, for example, and the drug barons. Well, there are poaching barons. And they're not necessarily the people in South Africa or elsewhere on the African continent, which have rhinos and elephants, because elephants are also poached, as increasingly are the big cats and other precious wildlife species. And, you know, I became more and more horrified myself, researching and understanding the scale of the problem, at the destructive nature of humankind. I mean, we're the most destructive, vicious, murderous species on the planet. Sure. And the way we're reducing these proud examples of wildlife, I mean, you know, the rhino is prehistoric in its origins, and reducing them to, in the case of the northern white rhino, extinction. And if we carry on, it'll be true for the black rhinos as well, and white rhinos in countries like South Africa.
Ek wou by Pieter weet of hy dink daar is 'n manier wat korrupsie en stropery ontrafel kan word van mekaar.
The only thing that will ultimately do it, because money is driving it, is if the consumers of rhino ground down horn into powder, which they use for drug substitutes, for hangovers, for aphrodisiacs, for all sorts of obscene and frankly, completely, well, unproven objectives, to put it politely. They have to be shamed into stopping doing it. But we know from, you know, the heroin trade or the cocaine trade that, because it's millions of consumers that drive that, it isn't Colombian or Afghani drug barons that are the only problem. It is the American, European, and other consumers around the world who purchase cocaine and heroin that actually are at the source of the problem. So shaming, because it's predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly Eastern Asian countries' citizens who are buying the powdered rhino horn, shaming them to stop doing it is part of it, by a big public campaign that has to be led by governments. And governments have to take responsibility. It's one thing to pass, you know, international legislation to ban the trade in wildlife, but that doesn't mean anything if the poaching cuts underneath that and ignores it, as is obviously the case from the hundreds of billions of pounds annually that are traded in this trade. So governments have to take the initiative, and those are governments of the Western countries like America and Britain and Europe, as well as China and Vietnam and Laos and other countries in that part of the world. This is a global problem for which there can only be, in the end, a global solution to save the rhino, to save elephants, and to save other precious species.
Ek wil ook by hom weet of hy dink daar is iets wat ons as Suid-Afrikaners kan doen om ons eie wildlewe beter te beskerm.
Well, like so much else that is needs putting right in South Africa today, you've got to deal with corruption. And by the way, that's not just contemporary corruption. The poaching and the illegal wildlife operations happened under apartheid. The South African military, as the book exposes, the South African military used the trade, used wildlife and killing wildlife to trade from Angola and other countries in southern Africa. So it's a problem. Like, there was a corruption under apartheid as well, particularly in the arms industry, it's not something that just started after the transition to majority government in South Africa and after Mandela had stepped down. This is something that has been in South Africa's political and economic and criminal DNA now for generations. I think South Africa has to, and the government must, and the president should be at the leading this. And they should be, these poaching gangs should be exposed. And I hope that the Rhino Conspiracy, as well as being an enjoyable read, I hope you founded one too, is also, increase the pressure on the decision makers to do what they should be doing.
Pieter sê egter hy het groot hoop vir die stryd teen renosterstropery. Hy verduidelik hoekom hy so voel.
I'm by nature an optimist. I've been an optimist all my life. Brought up in South Africa, you know, my South African life was terminated not through my own choice or that of my parents. But I'm optimistic for the country, as I was optimistic that we could eventually defeat apartheid, though it seemed omnipotent at the time when we steamed out on the ocean liner into exile in March 1966 from Cape Town docks and past Robben Island in the mist. We didn't think we could defeat apartheid. It seemed omnipotent, but we kept fighting to do so. And eventually we succeeded. And I think in the end, you know, humankind, if enough of us are determined to do something about it, can succeed and can succeed in eradicating poaching and can succeed in protecting the rhino, for example, and elephants and other vital wildlife species. But we got to decide to do it. And we've got to make it our mission. And there are fantastic organizations like Save the Rhino, the charity and campaigning group, which has kindly backed this rhino conspiracy and helped launch it, that are doing valuable work. But it needs political mobilization as well. It needs everybody to take up the cudgels. And I hope that having read this thriller, as is an easy way into the subject, I hope that readers who enjoyed it will actually be sparked to do what they can.